WBRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed, ahoy, ahoy. Welcome one and all to episode 589. That's a big number of BRB UK. I am Dan. I'm one of your hosts. Good evening to you if you're watching live. Or good whatever heck time of the day this is for you at the moment if you're not watching live. Because we're live, aren't we, Colin? We are live.
We'll do it live.
We are live. Hi.
Yep. Tim, are you live?
No. I'm at least a few seconds behind, always.
Yes.
In real life, online, whatever.
Yep, we blamed your internet. You're just a half-wit.
Yeah.
Well, we're doing a thing. Coleman just kind of dropped it on us as we were sidling up to the mic, ready for a lazy Thursday evening of podcasting. Going, oh, by the way, we're going to do this to everyone on the internet.
Some of us. We'll do it live.
And by some of us, I mean one of us had checked the Discord earlier in the day, Dan, and so was aware of this information beforehand.
I saw there was a YouTube link, so I figured there might be shenanigans in the offing, but yes.
Just to update, so we've been live streaming kind of publicly, privately. We've been doing it on our Discord just for testing, making sure things
so dodgy.
It's a private
work and everything.
He's been sending me pictures. I don't like them. No means no, Coleman.
Check the levels last week. We seemed all right. I thought it would be a good time to bite the bullet.
I'm not buying any bullets.
Episode 589.
Sounds like a stupid idea. Monumental
episode to start live streaming publicly.
Yes,
so we're on YouTube and we're on Twitch, which I checked. I think we haven't streamed to Twitch in 6 years.
So. Oh, nice. About time.
Yeah, we know how to internet.
It's all changed. It's scary. I don't like it. There's bits. There's people live streaming in hot tubs. Bob Ross isn't on there anymore. I don't know what's happening. The world is scary and I don't like it.
Can I just say for the record, I'm never, and listeners, you'll thank me for this, I am never, ever, ever going to podcast live from a hot tub.
You don't have a hot tub.
Exactly. There's one good reason. Two,
that's one major hurdle.
People do not need to see me in a hot tub. It's not pleasant.
I might go around Tim's and bring a praddling pool. A real praddling pool around Tim's.
Are you going to have the little armbands and everything, little ducky armbands?
Yep.
Little floaties.
Yeah, in case that 6 inches of water catches you off guard.
Well, where are...
They're channeling your inner Master Chief. Oh, did it go above my ankle? I'm dead.
I was thinking we could Baywatch theme it, you know. Tim will be Pamela Anderson. I'll be the Hoff. I think it's good.
Nice.
It's good.
Seriously, I am
slow motion running.
Not as far into middle age as we are, Tim. No one needs to see a slow mo running. There are bits of me that move before other bits of me. It wouldn't be pleasant.
I think I should have the singlet actually with my moves.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Are you going to go for the secret inbuilt wonder bra in your one piece?
I don't need it.
Don't you? Wow.
Just going to go.
It's all flesh, baby.
Nice.
Right. Shall we talk about video games?
It's please, all let's. Clammy man flesh.
Slightly less
Damn.
Chance of being disgusting.
Clammy man flesh.
Damn!
Yes.
Let's get on with it.
All right, okay. So, my mic just went really weird. Did that go really weird for you
It
guys?
Did, I heard yes. it. It was lovely.
Yeah.
Can you do
you
it
heard
again?
It live, Dan, as well.
I heard it live.
Do it again. There we go. Doing it live. Actual proof. There we go. So chaps, we've done played some stuff. Well, I think me and Carmen have. Tim's just, you said all you've done is VR and me and Carmen.
VR,
no.
And I decided to save
Tim, no VR.
It's fine.
No VR. You've got your own separate show for that. No VR.
Big
get
Shots
out.
Is
out.
Fine.
Get out.
It's okay.
What?
What? It's good. Big Shots.
Get out.
It's fine.
Are you done?
Back Shots.
I will save it for me and Kev doing VRB. We were going to do this one this earlier this week. That fell through because I had to work late. Hence the fact I haven't played much this week as well. I was at the theatre last night.
So what you're saying
is
due to your grueling work schedule, the internet's had a stay of execution from you prattling on about VR for an hour.
I had to work late Monday, tabletop Tuesday on Tuesday as normal, and then Wednesday I was at the theatre. So, you know, hey.
Nice. Okay. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, chilled on Sunday. Lovely.
Yeah.
Right. So we ought to talk about what we've done played. So I've been paddling in the shallow waters of early access this week for No Rest for the Wicked. So this isn't a full review because it is still, and my God, this game is very much early access. Did Colin, you mentioned you were thinking about giving it a go. Did you check it out in the end or?
No, I didn't. No.
No.
I was like, there's a story there. No, there isn't.
No.
I'm still very much sold on Baldur's Gate 3. So I'm just trying to clear some space to get into that. This one looks like something I'd probably go in for after early access when all the bugs are ironed out and jump in after that.
I'm very interested in this game, but I can't, well, you know me, I don't really play on Steam, so I can't really play at the moment. Or I possibly
well, good
could,
news,
but
Timothy.
I'm not going
good.
To. But yeah, I'm keen to hear you talk
good
about it.
Good shuffling news to you, because whilst this is just early access on PC, it is going to be coming to PS5
yes.
and your Xbox Series. This is. So No Rest for the Wicked is from Moon Studios, who are probably more famous for, I think, the Ori series of games. And it's, I would describe it as kind of an action RPG, I think is the way to describe it, with kind of like almost a Diablo-esque camera position, so kind of three quarters and above, really far zoomed out, but with a heavy, heavy dose of Dark Souls in there, or the Souls-like games. I think one of the things that is very surprising, because you look at it and you go, oh, that looks a bit like Diablo, and kind of your monkey brain, in my case, kind of expects a similar kind of game. This is so far removed from that. It's very slow and methodical, certainly that in terms of the loot that it dropped for you in the early game. I got like a big old swinging mace and armor, which basically means I need to sit down after every couple of steps I take. But it's very much that kind of, you've got to read the enemies, you've got to be very slow, methodical, you've got to wait for the opening, you can't rush into things.
Very deliberate, basically.
Yeah, it is very deliberate. And that, I think, because you're so used to a certain type of game from something that looks like this, it does take you a bit by surprise. But early signs are pretty good. I have to say, I'm not really that much into my Souls likes, but I thought, this looks interesting. I kind of quite like this viewpoint. I kind of feel like Souls games, I was always getting absolutely done from horrible things creeping up behind me and prodding stuff into me, which I never particularly like. Whereas this, you've got a much better view of the environment, and I kind of feel that you can plan a little bit accordingly. So this came out early access. I think it was 18th of April, the first day it came out. And I picked it up for, I think, the princely sum of £31, because they had we've just gone into early access, yeah. Have some money off. Picked up on Steam, on PC, it's the only place you can play at the moment, and have been largely doing it on my desktop PC. And I'm very glad I have, because my goodness, this is where the first bit of early access comes in. This game is terribly optimized. It looks fantastic. It looks absolutely gorgeous. It is the visual design of this game is fantastic. It's like you are almost like you're kind of not really kind of playing a comic book, that's the wrong way to put it, but it's got a very rich visual style. The character design, I would sum up as everyone's clearly forgot leg day. Just gonna put that out there. Everyone's got very large forearms for some reason. I don't understand. Yeah. They're not normal shapy people, but that's part of the visual charm, I guess. But in terms of, while it does look lovely, it absolutely punishes your hardware. So my PC, this webcom's gonna get snarky in a couple of seconds. So I've got like an 11th gen Intel processor, which runs a bit hot the best times, and a RTX 3080. So, you know, not top end of things, but a decent spec. Coleman is being an absolute. I know. All right. So,
top of the spec to you.
All I'm saying is that I didn't need to sell a kidney for it.
Someone's doing all right.
That's what you're going to say.
One told me there was going to be boasting.
All right. So how many frames per second are you going to get on your potato, Coleman, is kind of what I'm like, yeah, I know. But it absolutely canes your PC. It really, really, really rinses it. So you are going to need, at least at this stage, quite a decent PC to get anything. Steam Deck, if I was lucky, I could get 20 frames a second. Sometimes single-digit frames a second. It is not a good Steam Deck experience at the moment.
Does it look like a Flickr book?
Yes.
Is it one of those deck games that produces steam from the vent?
No.
What a witty comment. No.
It isn't steam.
With my 47th gen, 28,000 core, 60 billion teraflop PC.
Didn't you just drop a large amount of dosh on a PC, though, Coleman?
We don't like to talk about that.
Yeah. So, young man.
Whoops.
Yep.
Shame.
Didn't you do that? Didn't you do that?
It was that. Is that why we stopped doing the podcast for a bit?
All right, fair enough. But I mean, I think it's got a lot of promise, this game. It's got a lot of promise. At the moment...
That's what I've heard elsewhere as well.
I mean, I'm kind of willing to learn the Souls-like approach to these things. I think my inner button masher still gets a bit too excited. I'm like, yay, he's going to club something round the... Oh, I'm dead again, damn it. And it's got...
You have an inner button masher.
I have an inner button
masher. So he's not allowed in public.
Yeah, it's true. Very true. That's why I've always got to be escorted by an adult.
It's been banned from most stores.
I have. Yeah. I love mashing them buttons. Especially those big red ones on the wall with fire alert on it. It's great. Love them. They're the best ones because they make the best noise.
I was trying to see if we had one.
No. So, that one. So yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly that. See, that is the best noise. If you love your Souls-like games, probably you're going to get a lot more enjoyment out of this in its early access stage. I think it feels like it's still, they've kind of got a lot of the visual flair there, but they've just got a lot of optimizing to do. There's a couple of slightly janky edges to the gameplay. The kind of parry and block mechanics, I know it's a Souls-like, but it does feel a bit brutal in terms of where it throws you in at the deep end. And I think, I don't know whether this is just my terrible RNG at the beginning of the game, but being given very heavy, very slow weapons to start out with, you know, it'd be good if they gave you a mix of all of the weapon types just to explore which one suits your playstyle the best, rather than being a kind of a massive lurching, very slow thing that hits hard, but it tells everyone about a week before you're going to hit them that you're going to hit them. I think watch this space. I think early access might not be for everyone at the moment. If you have a butler, you've probably got the PC that can run this at the moment. So yeah, I think this is going to be great when it's got a bit more polish. And I look forward to kind of revisiting it on the podcast when it's a bit nearer release.
Do you think it's just because, I mean, because they're obviously talented developers. They've got a lot of praise through making the Ori series, Ori in the Blind Forest and that sort of stuff. But do you think because this is a thing that's slightly unfamiliar to them that they've gone with the early access? Or do you think it's because it's a slightly difficult genre to kind of make and early access suits them for that purpose? Do you get a feeling either way on that?
I mean, I think I've got a feeling they're using this. I mean, the balance doesn't feel way off, but I've got a feeling they're using this as a way to see how people try and min-max, see what balancing passes they need to do. I think that's mine because it is, you're right, a slightly unfamiliar territory to them. I think they want to see kind of where the community takes, like the builds and the loadouts and what, if there's kind of a critical path to this is the equipment you must have and to stand a chance in the game. So they probably want to make sure that kind of it's balanced in a way that encourages diverse playstyles, a bit like the best Souls-like games do. So I think that's probably where they're going with this. But it seems like there's very much kind of the bits of kind of lore and story that I've seen in the game set it up really nicely. And there's kind of a nice bit of kind of mystery about discovering the world around you, which is always fun. I think this could turn into a fantastic game. It's a pretty good game at the moment, is how I would describe it. Some rough edges, needs a massive performance pass, probably needs a little bit of tweaking in terms of how... I know Souls games are not meant to be forgiving, but I think perhaps out of the gate, it could ease you into things just maybe a little bit more.
But from what you've seen, the problems are more technical problems at this stage and slight balancing issues rather than anything horrifically wrong with it.
Absolutely. It, at the core of this is a corking game.
Cool. All right. Well, that's no rest for the wicked. Wicked. No rest for the wicked. It's out in early access on Steam right now, and that's coming to PS5 and Xbox Series X and S sometime. And it's $34.99. I think there's a discount at the moment. Takes it down to like 31, 32, something like that.
For 2 weeks, I believe. So
not bad.
2 weeks.
Yeah. 2 weeks.
Yeah. After we learnt with Baldur's Gate 3, especially if you're into the game style that's in early access, even if it is a bit rough around the edges, it can usually pay off to get it in early access because they tend to get a price hike when they go into version 1. That. So we'll see.
I could see this at full release going for $49.99 or £50 if you want to be sensible and not say lots of numbers.
I mean, especially on console. I could see that going $56.
Oh, so. God, so. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Do we know who's publishing this? Or are they self-publishing?
I think they're self-publishing.
Okay. Oh, that makes sense for the early access as well, because that's an early revenue stream afforded to them as well. So, makes sense.
Publisher
is apparently private division.
And they are subsidiaries of Take-Two, of course.
Yes. Right. Take-Two are growing again.
Are they? Good for them.
I think so, after the Embracer stuff. So
they're going to be Take-Three all of a sudden, yeah?
Shut up.
Maybe. Take a break. Take a kick. Yeah. Hey, guess what I've been playing, guys, if you can't tell by the backdrop on the video.
What have you been playing, Carmen? Could it have anything to do with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Quite possibly, or if you're from the UK like us, three Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles.
Are they still sticking to that? Are they still trying to call
No,
that stopped in the late 90s, I think.
Turned out we didn't all turn into psychopathic sword-wielding maniacs just from hearing the word ninja. Who would have thought?
Why was the word ninja ever banned? I never understood
it, I know, it was like, oh no, it's a bit racy. They might start stabbing people.
It was ninjas and nunchucks. We weren't allowed nunchucks. So whenever Michelangelo in the cartoon would attack people with his nunchucks, you would just see him sort of spin them above his head, and then you would never see him strike anyone in the UK.
Yep.
Same with the films as well. They would cut those.
Peace sticks.
I was watching a retrospective on this, and it was some Australian guys talking about all the censorship in the Turtles films, and they were talking about in the second one how they try to get around the censorship by having Michelangelo attack people with like two salamis on strings rather than nunchuck. And that still got cut in the UK. And I was watching that going, I swear I've seen this scene though. And then I checked and yeah, we had a bootleg VHS when I was a kid. So that's probably why. Anyway, yes, I've been playing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Arcade.
You wouldn't steal Wrath a turtle.
Of the Mutants. And I kind of jumped to the chance of this because A, I'm a giant man-child who grew up on Turtles and loved the Turtles franchise, and B, I was not aware of what this game was and was quite interested. But this is a port of a arcade game from 2017, which I misunderstood the assignment. I thought this was a remake of the...
Very awesome game from the
90s. Yeah, I thought it was a remake of the Konami 90s arcade game that...
They already did that, didn't they?
They did. Well, no, they re-released that one. I thought that this was a remake using the 2014 Nickelodeon Turtles. So wanted to get in on that. It wasn't. It was an arcade game that came out in 2017 that I had no idea existed. And probably should just stay in 2017 because it's not a remake. It's a port. And if you are interested, PC, PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One. It's out now. It's $24.99. That gets out of the way. I will preface, this is a code that was sent to me to play from PR company, and I'm not liking it. It's it's kind of like the dumbed down, simplified version of the arcade game, which the original arcade game. This is technically an arcade game, so that's why it's going to get confusing.
Yes,
to me.
Right.
But whenever I talk about a Turtles arcade game, I assume one, okay. even though there were a few in the 90s. So, yeah, this came out in 2017, and you play as the four Turtles, Leonardo, Donatello, Michelangelo, Raphael, and it's your regular side-scrolling beat-em-up affair. You go up against different characters that you might know from the cartoon, especially if you watch that 2000s Nickelodeon version of Turtles. Some of them you recognize as well, because I didn't realize characters like Razor that were in the Secret of the Ooze in the 90s had been brought into the cartoons. So there's characters like that you'll see. And basically you go through, you beat up a bunch of baddies and their foot soldiers and the like. You get midway through the level and they'll throw like a mid-level boss at you. You fight them, you beat them. You carry on, and then at the end, you'll get a second boss that you have to fight, and then you've beaten that level. The idea is you go through, I think it's six different levels, so New York City, the sewers, Dimension X, and a few other different places as well. And then once you've done all of those places, you can go up against Shredder and the Super Shredder, also from Secret of the Ooze. Not Kevin Nash, unfortunately.
Yeah, point I heard somewhere else, like the original arcade didn't have two of those levels. Two of those levels are new for this version of the game, apparently.
Yes, that is right.
I have a question.
Go for it.
Why does this game look like butts?
Because...
That's very unkind.
It is true.
It looks like turtles.
Unfortunately, yeah, because I thought this was a remake. I didn't realize it was a straight port of a six-year-old arcade game, but even so... Booting this up, I was like, wow, why does this look so janky and weird? And it kind of looks like they've taken lower than a 720p game and stretched it out into 1080 or to 4K.
Because
something very odd, like there's a graininess to it that's very off-putting.
Because
when
strange. I saw this, I wondered actually if it was like kind of a mobile game, to be honest with you. I thought, oh, this looks like pretty good.
It does look like a mobile game. Yeah, that's a shame. It does look like a
mobile
game.
It's also the worst looking Bebop I've ever seen in anything.
Oh, yeah, he's all skinny and he disco dances. Yeah, he does like little Michael Jackson moves.
And why do all the turtles have like leg warmers? They all look like they're wearing leg warmers.
That's just the mid-2000s CG style of Nickelodeon at the time, I think. This isn't the aesthetic they're using anymore. So it's an outdated version of the turtles.
Wow.
Not even like the best version. But yeah, if you find the arcade game difficult, and the arcade game is difficult. It's a 90s arcade game that the whole point was to keep putting your
original
money in
arcade
over and over
or
again.
This abomination.
The original arcade version.
Okay.
That was
the good one.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. I love that version of the game. I'll play it through a bunch of times, but I will admit it is a hard arcade game to get through. This one is a lot easier, and it seems to be much more geared towards, you know, kids. If you've got kids that like the Turtles and you want to play with them and you can play four-player with them, or you've got multiple kids that they got friends, you know, if there's kids involved to be playing this game, it seems more geared towards them because there's an easy mode, which makes the game way too easy. There's a normal mode, which makes the game too easy. And then if you beat the game in normal, then you can play it in hard, which also seems quite easy-ish. Yeah. it's not particularly that challenging. It's going to be something for younger fans of the Turtles.
That's a slight reductive kind of way to go, though, because kids don't necessarily like something just because it's easy, and they won't necessarily dislike something because it's hard, no? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
I get your point, but I'm just... Yeah.
I mean, I think that's some of the criticism I've seen leveled at this. It was kind of like they did dumb it down almost a bit too much. That there's a lot of kind of side-scrolling arcade-style beat-em-up like Street Rage 4, which, you know, have balanced the difficulty well and not kind of ridiculously hard, but do have some interesting mechanics, whereas this is literally dumbed down pretty much far as I can work out from what I've read, that walk up to man, smash button, you win, rinse, repeat, rather than there necessarily being, you know, thinking about how you're going to approach certain encounters using your character. There's no real strategy to it. It is just mash buttons until win. Really?
Yeah, pretty much. So the kind of genius of Shredder's Revenge, the arcade inspired Turtles game that came out, what, 2 years ago now?
Mm-hmm.
That was taking the aesthetic of the Turtles arcade game and then adding in more like streets of more home arcade style. So you've got button combos and things like that rather than just mash square and mash X. And that's all there is pretty much to this. It's mash square for attack and then X to jump, and there's a jump, ground and pound attack. And then everything else is kind of power-up based. If you hit triangle, you've got a turtle power move. And depending on what character you have, so if you're... And they are quite cute. If you're Donatello, you pull out a device that electrocutes everyone on screen. If you're Leonardo, you spin around with your katana and kind of slice everyone up in a big whirlwind style. And if you're Michelangelo, you throw a pizza in the air and then just keep slicing it while it hurls slices of pizza at people. That's quite
cool. How does he slice a pizza with sticks? With nunchucks? They are not an optimum pizza slicing device.
No, that should be almost anyone. And also, how do pizzas hurt people? Like, that should give them more energy.
Frozen.
Not less.
Frozen pizza.
They are.
Frozen pizza.
If you've ever been an unwitting bystander in a gluten-free pizza from Pizza Hut,
you should know this, Tim. You should know this, Tim. You're a gluten-free man yourself.
That's not food. That's a weapon of destruction right there.
It's gluten-free pizzas being thrown out. Okay. I'm glad we've established that. That's fine. That I can believe.
I mean, as a man with a gluten intolerance, Tim, you should know about all this stuff because they could hurl a pizza at you and you'd be like, delicious pizza. Ah, my stomach!
They're going for the
They'll take you
burn.
Out of action for a bit. You wouldn't make it.
Going for the chip damage for you, Tim. That's
you wouldn't make
doing.
It in the Foot Clan, Tim.
No, chips don't damage me. They're gluten-free. That's fine.
Anyway, yeah, and some of the other enjoyable parts, it's seeing, I mean, because I'm not familiar with this version of the cartoon. I was way too old when this thing came out. But it's the reimagining of the characters, like Leatherhead, the alligator. You saw a clip in the video. He's like a big hulking, rather than the silly Australian version. And... I like there's power-ups as well that you can get other characters to jump in and help you, like Leatherhead and it's not Chrome Dome. Who's the other one? There's that
Turtle. The Robo-Turtle thing. Yeah, I can't remember his actual name. Turtlehead?
Sure, Turtlehead. That'll do. Turtlehead, the robot dome.
Right, it's something right, head. I don't think it's Turtlehead.
He's got head like a turtle. What should we call it? Turtlehead. Right.
Just remembered what turtleheading is, but hey. Okay. Definitely not that.
Speaking of gluten intolerance, I think it might be metalhead.
If it's gluten intolerance, you don't tend to get so much of a warning. I wouldn't say that's like a turtle head knocking.
I think it's metalhead. I get confused because there's a bad guy called Chrome
as
well.
Metalhead. Yes. But one thing, I have a question, Mr. Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been mostly playing it in single player? Because this type of game is usually more fun in multiplayer.
Mostly single, tried it in multiplayer, but it doesn't make the game any enjoyable. It just means that the enemies go quicker.
that might add to the enjoyment. It's usually scrolling beat-em-ups are usually more fun, more people, especially arcade-y style.
Well, I'm going to try this with a man called Rick, as he's the biggest Turtles fan I know. I think he's got Turtles tattoos. Turtles fan I know, so we'll give this a try at some point together.
Okay.
But playing it with randos, I don't recommend
most things
it
with randos are like what is well down on the list of things I want to do. You feel like, damn good.
Yeah, I don't recommend it for like diehard Turtle fans that need to play the newest Turtles game. And if you are, you might have already played this in arcades already. There might be some enjoyment if you've got younger children that
7 years ago
can't really get into the challenging games just yet, and they're big Turtles fans, maybe. I think so. £25 available on all the platforms, it seems.
All the platforms?
All the platforms. PC, PS5, Xbox Series X and S, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One.
Xbox One.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Those are the games we done played.
They are the games we done played. You are correct.
We don't have a lot of news this week.
No, we don't.
It's been relatively quiet week.
A smattering of news.
Because we mentioned Embracer Group earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because I don't know if you guys know this. Embracer Group's in a fair bit of debt. and they're trying to get rid of that debt. Yes. So they've been cancelling projects. They've been selling studios and properties. They've been going every which way and loose and trying to sort things out.
Because we all know the best way for a game development company to not make money is to not make games. Like, that's the fastest way to not make money, I guess.
Well,
that
was a very strange sense.
Basically, I know it didn't come out entirely right, but you know, hey.
There was a whole thing where the Embracer Group were they were buying up properties left, right, and center, and then they were trying to do a deal with the Saudi government that was reported as a $2 billion deal. It's tied to the government.
Saudi investment group with ties to the Saudi government.
Yes. And it all fell through at the last minute, and that's left them in a ridiculous amount of debt, and they've had to offset that debt in whatever ways they can going forward. And they've announced this week that they're actually going to split the Embracer Group up into three different separate companies. You can have the Asmodee Group. Asmodee Group, Coffee Stain and Friends.
Might be more French than that, but yeah.
Asmodee Group.
What?
Coffee Stain and Friends. And the Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends.
The Middle Earth. They are the Middle Earth.
Is a basic French or
Avec Friends?
No, but Asmodee is a French company.
Gotcha.
But it's really weird though, because Asmodee kind of bought up a lot of board game companies and a lot of subsidiaries, yes. Fantasy Flight and a lot of other things. So they kind of like amalgamated all of them together, and then they got bought out by Embracer, who were amalgamating lots of things together. So it's really weird. But also the thing that I find weird is that Asmodee Group are just Asmodee, Coffee Stain and Friends, and then Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends. Why is Asmodee the only one left without friends when they make all the board games that you need friends to play with?
Don't know. But Asmodee is going to be taking the reins on all the tabletop development. Coffee Stain and Friends are going to focus on the indie and AA and premium free-to-play games for PC, console, and mobile. And Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends, as you may have guessed, they'll be focusing on the Lord of the Rings and AAA development of games, including Tomb Raider and other intellectual properties that they've acquired.
My brain just did a completely mad mashup there when you said Lord of the and then said Rings.
Flies.
My brain went Michael Flatley, and I ended up with some kind of Lord of the Dance. Michael Flatley combo, which is very odd.
I want to see a Middle Earth Lord of the Dance now.
Yep.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, Mr. Frodo.
Oh, Mr. Flatley.
Mr. Flatley.
I may not be able to dance with you, but I can dance for you. Or the other way around, I don't know.
Yeah.
Good old Embracer.
Oh, the fun we had.
Mm-hmm. Interesting one this week. Well, depending on your definition. You may remember a little game called Little Big Planet 3, which came out towards the end of the PS3, start of the PS4, became a mid-title between the two. And this was the first Little Big Planet console game that wasn't done by Media Molecule. This was Sumo Digital, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
And this has had problems from the launch all the way going through to the modern day. It's had servers hacked and all kinds of things going on. And then randomly at the start of the year, the servers just shut down. And we've had no reason as to why. And all of a sudden, they're just, it's not coming. We don't know if it's coming back. They've just said, hey, there's the servers, they're down for the foreseeable future. So there's ongoing technical issues cited from Sony. So if you have games upload, levels, because the whole point of Little Big Planet, as well as being an okay platformer and your ability to make other games as well, it's a level creator and all these kind of things. It's Mario Maker before Mario Maker, and probably a lot more in depth thinking about it. Any levels that you made that were uploaded online, they are inaccessible. If you have them saved locally to your computer, they're accessible. And that's about it. But it is a shame, because I was a big fan of Little Big Planet and Little Big Planet 2. I tried Little Big Planet 3. I had the same issues as everyone else did, technical issues from launch going forward. I think that was one of my review games, actually, when that first came out. And it kind of put me, it took me out of the community, and it probably didn't help that Media Molecule moved on to Dreams Forever.
Molecule?
Sorry, Media Molecule kind of moved on to Dreams and spent forever trying to get it out, and it just, it finally came out, and I know it's big in certain circles, but it didn't quite, considering it was the game that they announced with the PlayStation 4, it kind of went with a bit of a whimper, and now they've stopped development for that game completely, so it's just kind of running in sleep mode in the background. But
do you think we should be worried about Media Molecule? Like, with Dreams not getting support on the PS5, that's a bit worrying considering how many years they put into it and a lot of other people put time and effort into building that. That probably lost a bit more confidence from the people that developed stuff for, or, you know, made levels for Little Big Planet 3 with this problem as well. Like, I don't know how worried we should be about the future of Media Molecule. And obviously they've always had I don't think they're not owned by Sony. No, they just develop games for them, I think. I'm not sure if they're Sony owned or not.
Talk amongst yourselves, and I'll find out.
Oh yeah, have an investigation. But that might be, I don't know if it would be better or worse if they're independent from Sony, because Sony does have a tendency to just close people down all of a sudden once they've had a difficult time or a couple of
things. They are a first party studio. They're owned by Sony.
I'm hopeful that's not the case, because even though I wasn't a massive fan of Dreams, like, I really like the idea of it. It's just, if it had come out like 20 years ago, and or if I was much younger is the bigger point, then I would have had more time put into it, and I think I would have got more out of it.
Yeah.
But because that didn't really suit my, you know, the time available and the lifestyle I have now and all that type of stuff, it didn't really. All, and also, clubbing. But Little Big Planet before it, again, I love the idea, but I'm historically, anyone that's listened to the show will know that I'm not the biggest fan of platforming, and that was all that what this was based around. So Dreams kind of opening up did appeal to me slightly, but it was very involved and took quite a lot of time, and I think I've got more fond memories of Mod Nation Races than any of Planet things. Apart from the side, just because I like that style of game more, and I like the levels that I built in that, and I actually built some levels in that where I didn't really do a Little Big Planet. The only thing I really liked about Little Big Planet is one of the games I played with my nephew when he was quite young, and we had some nice memories from that, basically. But other than that, like, and I like Sackboy as a character. Like, yeah, I like the Sackboy adventure thing as well. I thought that was really good. But didn't seem to do Marston very well as well, unfortunately. Yeah, and like the musical levels and that were amazing. I don't know where they go next. And I'm worried about, like, if Sony don't like the look of where they're going next, that Sony might just, you know, start handing out some P45s to the Sackboy and Friends.
I'm surprised we've not heard that already. I got to admit, even though, I mean, back in the day, a lot of people were talking about Dreams before it came out and how long it was taking to develop, and the fact that it came out towards the end of the PS4 life cycle probably didn't help it. According to a lot of sources behind the scenes, Sony were happy for Media Molecule to just keep going with this. They liked what they were doing. But it didn't really take off in such a big way. And I do think there should have been a PS5 port. There should have been something that was much like, what was it? The Astrobot game for the PS5. There should have been included as like a free thing on the PS5 when it launched. They should have been given away on PlayStation Plus. Like, there should have been, here's your PS5. Here's all the games that you could possibly own, because they're made by fans, you know, things to try out. A PSVR 2 thing should have been included, because you could make PSVR games in that. Like, there's a lot of potential with that game that didn't happen. And I've got a feeling that might be COVID related, you know, a lot of
budget
cutting and stuff.
A big part of the problem for me is that they've always done the kind of creator stuff but also like pushing the envelope a little bit and doing a bit more experimental stuff with game creation. But Sony don't seem to be backing those sorts of projects anymore. And they don't seem to be, you know, sort of supporting that or at least looking like they're as supportive of those sort of projects as they were. And that makes me very worried for Media Molecule. And I'm hopeful that that is not the case, and I'm hopeful that they've got something interesting.
I don't know. I'm going to play devil's advocate a bit here. I think we're reading too much into this. This is an old-ass game that is only costing them money to keep going.
No.
And I think if they said that, look, just as long as this continues to work and we don't have to really invest much in it other than just keeping the lights on, as it were, then fine. But as soon as it starts needing active investment to keep an old game that's not generating profit going, then that does, at the end of the day, it's business. And that slightly alters the dynamics when they come to write the check for that every year.
To be fair, I completely forgot we were talking about Little Big Planet 3, which isn't a Media Molecule game, and got kind of sidetracked with Media Molecule.
No. It was more the fact, I don't think that this is a big sign of that. What I was saying was, like, we haven't heard anything from Media Molecule at the moment. This reminded me of the fact that we haven't, and that Dreams hasn't been on PS5, and we don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And just in general, that I am worried about them.
I think we're just eating up time.
Yes.
Well, there's that.
We have a bit of time to spare this week, and we just needed to eat a little bit up.
Yeah. But this is just basically a thinly veiled ploy to stop me talking about the new Destiny Final Shape trailer, of course.
Oh, yeah. You really want to talk about that?
I mean, I thought I should mention it because that launch date is coming up soon. Get ready, Tim. Beginning of June. Whoa, I'm going to be talking about Destiny. You might want to take the week off or something like that.
Yes.
So yeah, this is the kind of that they're really ramping up their social media ahead of the eventual launch of the Final Shape. So this basically is all about Cade, good old Nathan Fillion in robot form, who was very much everyone's favorite character out of Destiny and who got killed off in the Forsaken expansion. But he's very much looking to be like the main narrative lead, certainly from what we've seen so far. So although he did, it turns out actually he's still alive in a paracausal way, because why not? That's what Bungie say whenever there's a potential plot point that needs expansion. Go, it's paracausal, mate.
Paracausal.
It's a bit like Marvel with alternate timelines. Timeline, mate.
Yeah, it's the causals they would send into the battle zone with parachutes.
Indeed. Except they are the causals. They are the most highly trained causals. So
the city answer to Wurzels. Yeah. The causals.
The causals, yes.
That's the Irish Wurzels.
I don't even know causals. Where I'm going with that. I don't even know. I've so many things I could say that I'm glad my brain just engaged the filter before I got too stuck into that. Yes, so it's all about, he's ended up inside the Traveler, which is the big ball that hasn't really done anything. Still hasn't really done a great deal, apart from getting a giant really multicolored triangle window in the front of it. But anyway, that's where you're going in for the end of Destiny, because that's where the big bad wants, that's what the big bad wants to destroy. He wants to destroy the Traveler from the inside out, and he's trying to corrupt it.
Is the final shape a sphere, Dan?
I think we've had this conversation before. We have. Dodecahedron. Okay.
You said dodecahedron, but
it's one of them.
Yeah, shape D20.
Yeah,
it's a D20.
Okay.
The band.
Yes. But it you know, we've had gameplay reveals which kind of introduce new subclasses. It looks like it's going to be a bit of a greatest hits of Destiny. A lot of, I know Tim, you're gonna get triggered by this, a lot of reimaginings of previous destinations, because it's paracausal and that's what goes on inside the Traveler, so you get to relive all of the fun things you did over your 10 years of
paracausal.
But it does look like there's a lot of going to be a lot of new content in there as well. Like I said, last they revealed a new subclass which is mashing up kind of some of the really great abilities you have in existing subclasses. It looks like it's going to be fun. Looks like it's going to be fun times. Really nice kind of art design as always for it. And of course, I love Destiny. I'm stoked for it.
Are you? Do
love
you?
Love Destiny. Yes. You will also be stoked for it.
You kept that quiet.
But I think for many people, if they haven't really been following Destiny, you know, it might be worth waiting to see until what Bungie do after the Final Shape if you want to get stuck in for the very first time. Anyway,
your views intrigue me, and I wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
Do you? Yes.
Destiny, the Final Shape, that's out the 4th of June, I believe, 2024.
Yars.
Or 2025, that'd be funny.
Yeah, at the last minute. See ya.
The day before.
Yep. So, about that.
Hey, I know we're short on news this week. I just wanted to check. How are we all doing with Fallout? Did we all finish the Fallout show?
Oh, I haven't had a chance yet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I really liked it.
I did finish it.
I hear it work. It ends well.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought it went a little bit off in the episodes after. No, I'm not going into details, but some of the episodes just before the last one were a little bit wishy-washy, but I think it really stuck the landing. So I think, it's definitely worth sticking with, and I think it's generally good overall.
I thought it was really weird when that Deathclaw turned up and it was Macho Man Randy Savage stretched over it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, wait, sorry. That's my Fallout 4 game that I've been playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Fallout 4 is great when you mod the hell out of it.
Yeah, shame all of those things are broken now.
Just give yourself the best power armor, the best guns, and just tear the world apart. It's so fun. Launch nukes whenever you want to. Just blow craters in the world. Great. Love it. I need another version of the... do you remember when they did Anchorman 2 and then they went, oh, we've got all these alternate cuts so we can make a second version of Anchorman 2? And I think they ended up making four different versions. We need that.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Well, we need that with the Fallout TV show. We need Fallout streaming on Prime, and then we need Fallout the same season, but with mods. So people are running around in wacky, bizarre armaments, and everyone's got a power suit on and unlimited ammo. Nukes are got Randy Savage is over there.
Right.
He's a dragon.
Okay.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, God,
the dragon board turns up. It's good. It's good. Boss Rodar.
Force Rodar? Yeah,
that dragon.
Night when I'm playing Skyrim on my Eurocut BPC, Carmen.
No!
Force Rodar!
Dr. Dan the Fop here. I wish to play this game on my PC! At 120 frames a second, you peasants.
Yep, that's right.
So I have a monocle to see all the frames. From Media Molecule.
I still haven't started New Vegas either.
What
but
a
hey.
Berlin.
Okay. Fallout 4. Mod the hell out of it.
Okay.
Good. Fallout TV Unless show. Really good. I hope people are enjoying it. I think we have a TV discussion section on Discord we can talk about and warn people about spoilers and stuff. Mm-hmm. That sounds fun. Maybe I'll do that after the show. But that is everything that we have to talk about. Except for... maybe some form of store that might contain a face on it.
You mean a place that people should go on the internet to buy my face? That's right, tpublic.com/store/brb. Buy my face. Everything you could possibly want my face on is there. And things that you might not want my face on, you can probably buy there as well. That's right. You want a face mask with my face on it? That's what you can go to. Do you want a baby grow with my face on it? You can also have that. That blows my mind that you can get a baby grow with my face on it. All of those.
Can I fit it on the cat?
tpublic.com. Now you... could you fit it on the cat?
I'm thinking that. Might need to make some alterations.
My cat doesn't have a tail, so he's probably a bit more of a shoe-in for the baby grow.
Oh.
Three cats, three baby grows, three grown men with nothing better to do.
All now in trouble.
Three men
with the
and a cat baby.
He's now we tend to start these shows and go, oh, I've been really busy this week with work. Oh, me too. I haven't even been able to show up because I'm too busy for work. So what have done this week? I've been sticking baby groves on cats.
Put my cat in a baby grove. What?
Spiky Chris says, I can confirm you can fit a baby grow on a cat.
Excellent.
I don't want to know his evidence. Do not show the evidence.
By my face, tpublic.com/store/brb.
That was worth
go
it.
Go there.
Yes,
Dan's face. Dan's a fantastic man.
I certainly am, and I have a face. Get on things. Yes.
What's next?
Yes. I believe Tim. Tuesday. It's Tuesday. You need to tell me.
Believe me.
What happens on a Tuesday?
I don't believe you.
You don't believe me.
You son of a.
So if you don't believe me, what is Tuesday if it's not a Tuesday?
What if I do believe you?
Well, then that's fine, because Tuesday is Tuesday, and we've already established Tuesday's Tuesday.
I think Tuesday is a Tuesday, either way, Dan. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to establish.
No, but if Tuesday's not a Tuesday, then what is
Whether
Tuesday?
You don't believe me or you do believe me, Tuesday is still Tuesday. A Tuesday, Dan.
You've got Schrodinger's Tuesday. What's happening
for
on
anyone that doesn't
Tuesday?
Know? Each and every Tuesday, we do an event called Tabletop Tuesday at the Loading Bar in Stoke Newington. Each Tuesday, we have a different feature game, usually a board or a card game. And if you play that feature game that evening, you have a chance of winning a copy of the game at the end of the evening. Last week's event was really good fun, so thank you very much for everyone that came along for that. That was good. This week's feature game is a game called Downforce, which is actually a kind of racing game with a kind of betting and auction mechanic. It looks really good. It's made by a triforce of awesome game designers, one of which made Pandemic, which is quite a famous board game, obviously. As in the board game, not as in, you know, he was responsible
for the pandemic. Yeah, we know who did it.
Yeah.
Burn them! Yeah.
Wow.
But Downforce is a cool little racing game. You'd like it, Dan, because it's got a little F1 cars.
Yeah,
or F1
looking
like cars in it as well. Yeah, it's good. It's quick to play, like 20
like
to 40
to
minutes or so. Does for up to six people as
Doesn't
well.
Do so
well
in
it
the
should
F1.
Be should be very well suited for Tabletop Tuesday events. There are more details on the top left-hand corner of Big Red Barrel, or you can join the over 2,100 plus members of our Meetup group. Search for Tabletop Tuesday on meetup.com. Or just come along to the Loading Bar in Stoke Newington, play Downforce, possibly win a copy of the game in the evening. It's a really awesome prize, quite big, quite good, should be a fun evening with a cool prize at the end. Come join us.
Excellent.
Cool.
Do that. So Tuesday is Tuesday. Do a thing.
Yes. And also, if you have enjoyed this show, then you are a weirdo, but we love you all the same. Thank you very much. You can go over to bigredbarrel.com, and over there we have all the stuff that we tend to keep on the website, like the podcast and also the podcast. Mm-hmm. But there's other stuff there. There's older stuff. Things will happen. Watch this space. But
While you're saying that, I would also like to plug the fact that I produced blog content this week.
What?
Yes. So I got an interview with Digital Eclipse, Chris Collar, who's the kind of editorial. Not Collarman.
Collarman.
But yeah, he's the kind of director behind. I talked about Digital Eclipse's game previously, which was Jeff Minter, the kind of documentary and game collection that they do. There's the Gold Master series. So I had a little dig into kind of some questions with him and got kind of a bit more information. So that is up on the blog. If you are interested in reading it, it is on there. And yeah, it goes into a bit of the more Gold Master series stuff. Also, I mentioned it in the article, but just to mention here as well, the other stuff in the Gold Master series that I previously mentioned when I spoke about on the show, which is the Atari collection. Well, the Atari collection actually predates the Gold Master collection, but the making of Karateka, I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly. But both of those are currently on sale on PlayStation at the moment, so you might want to pick them up while they are cheap.
Cool. Oh, yeah. BigRedBarrel.com. Over there we have, as well as Tim's blog content, we have a Discord link all over there. We have different various types of social media. We are available on Facebook and X at Big Red Barrel. And Threads as well, sorry. And also we're available on YouTube, and we are available on Twitch. Big Red Barrel TV and Big Red Barrel. I've got to get those in line. YouTube, Big Red Barrel TV, and Twitch, Big Red Barrel. Thank you very much for watching. You can get in contact with us if you go through any of those methods. Comments, Discord, whatever. Give us a chat. Send us some questions. Leave us a review if you can. Whatever podcast platform you are listening to us on.
I love that story.
That's what you need to do.
Leave us a review. 5-star is our favorite flavor. And if we particularly find it an entertaining review, or we just like to inflate our own egos, we might read it out on the show.
I would like to see all everything. The reviews for this week being... I'd like to see 5 stars.
I'm a stupid moron with an ugly face and a big butt, and my butt smells, and I like to kiss my own butt.
It's a very long clip. I'd also like to deny what Spikey Chris said
Hello,
on the show.
Hello, 20th century Fox lawyers. Thank you.
Yeah. I would also like to deny what Spiky Chris said earlier in the show, because yeah, the pandemic was not caused by me buying a new year. There is no proof to that. You can't prove anything.
About no, theme, was... do you? Accessory.
Can I just correct you? It wasn't a purchasing decision. It was an investment as well. Okay.
Aren't you lay out
very clear about that? It was an investment.
Mm.
Right.
Should we wrap up?
Yes, we probably should. This has been a show. Thank you for putting up with us. We might get better at this live streaming thing in the future. Who knows? Keep an eye out on all of the social media things for news if we are deciding to do this again. So thank you one and all for joining us either live or joining us not live, but on a podcast device of your choosing. So all that's really left me to do is to remind you that I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
I'm off to stuff a cat and a baby grow.
Whoa.
With Dan's face on it.
I'm just really glad it came out that way. I really thought you were going to go, I'm going to go and stuff a baby grow and a cat.
When the RSPCA turn up, they're like, who could have done this atrocity? And it's just got a picture of Dan's face on it.
It was me.
Yep. Ahoy hoy, oh, smeared on the wall in feces. Toodle by.
It's environmental storytelling.
But anyway, that reminds me, I need to go to Lulu. That coffee's gone bright through me.
Lovely.
So we're going to go. Thank you for downloading us. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle bye.
T-U-R-T-L-E power. T-U-R-T-L-E power. T-U-R-T-L-E power. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. T-U-R-T-L-E power. T-U-R-T-L-E power. T-U-R-T-L-E power. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
You and your ears are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.